This is the Perched Above the Ice podcast, where we cover the Hershey Bears.
He scores! That is 10!
The Washington Capitals.
Bonger, a shot!
And what other hockey news we find interesting.
I painted my face.
You painted your face?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, support the team.
Well, you can't walk around like that.
Why not?
And now, here is your host, Richard Blosser and Matt Pakoda. Hello and welcome to Perched on the Ice podcast, the only hockey podcast devoted to that of the Hershey Bears here on the Perched Podcast Network. It is so great to be back with all of you once again. Oh, it feels so good to be able to talk. We have hockey starting here soon with the Washington Capitals. The Bears are starting out Saturday night. The South Carolina Stingrays are back. All is well in the world. It's cold outside. It's hockey weather. We get to play real hockey on Saturday. As a friend of mine said when we were at a preseason game last week, we went to see real fake hockey. Well, now it's real and it counts in the standings. You can tell I'm a little excited to be on here, everyone, that even though I've done several podcasts of season preview, and if you've been following along with Perched on social media, I've been doing some NFL stuff throughout the month of September and some pro wrestling pay-per-view ones, you know, to kind of keep the vocals going, to keep everything loose, to keep my skills going throughout the summer. And boy, it's been a long summer without hockey. Two big things happened to me over the summer. Just a quick catch-up for everyone. First off, I've joined MarylandSportsBlog.com, all one word, MarylandSportsBlog.com, as a blogger for the Hershey Bears. Do not get paid for any of this. It's not about the money. It's really not. They brought me in July. Figures I joined this during the absolute low point of the hockey season. And they've given me a chance to write recap articles and get this podcast out on a bigger social media platform. For those of you who followed along on Podbean, I thank you. This'll, you know, be more frequently posted on MarylandSportsBlog.com as well. And for those of you who have commented on my blog throughout the summer, I thank you, because truth be told, I'm a little bit of a hack. I'm not that good. I don't have a degree in communications. I do not have a degree in journalism. Heck, I failed out of 1 year of college at Harrisburg Area Community College. For those of you who are local, you know who I'm talking about. So yeah, and it's not because I'm stupid or anything. I have a mental curve. It's just the way my head's wired. Some of you know how I talk. I tend to stop and say, especially when I'm put on the spot, because I have ADHD. I have ADD. You know, it's hard for me to focus. It's hard for me to concentrate. It's hard for me to do a lot of the things to have a successful communications career in something, or a successful sports career in things that in an industry that I love. So to have this website say, yeah, we'll bring you in and we'll help you, don't worry. They've genuinely done that, and I thank them for it. I'll be having more written recaps go there. This show's going to go there. And another big life event, as some of you followed on the Hershey Bears fan club. I wanted to say this later in the show, but figured I'd just get out of the way here, is that I am engaged to my girl, Hillary Johnson. If you're listening to this, love you, honey. She has been my biggest fan and my biggest supporter. She is my lover, my best friend. And Memorial Day was when finally did it. And me babbling on like an idiot, popped the question to her, and she said yes. For all of you wondering, no, I am not getting married at Giant Center. No, hockey jerseys will not be involved. And no, the wedding is not during hockey season. It's in May. Now, knowing my luck, they'll go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and my wedding day is going to be when they play Rochester in Game 6, knowing my luck. But anyway, thank you to everyone who has followed along and for your words of encouragement. And enough about me talking about myself and ranting and raving on. All of you are here for hockey, and the Bears are back. The boys are back, and they're looking for trouble from everybody in the Eastern Conference in the Atlantic Division. The Charlotte Checkers took home the Calder Cup last year, and I'm happy for them. For an organization, them, you know, we loved going down to Charlotte. We did. Good for them. They were the truly best team in the league last year, and they won the cup. Now, with that being said, raise your banner and enjoy it, because you have something that's very important to us. So all of you are here as we are going to take a look at the Hershey Bears this season. I brought my buddy Matt Bakota on. We had a nice lengthy talk about some breaking news that had happened during the past couple days, because we were originally scheduled to do this podcast on September 30th, Monday, September 30th, but we decided to wait a day or two and let a lot of waiver wire stuff come down, and oh boy, our patience was rewarded with all the news that filtered down. So here's Matt Bakota here on Perched on the Ice. All right, here on Perched on the Ice, we are back, and we have on, of course, the Demolition Duo has returned. Myself and Matt Bakota is here as we are previewing the Hershey Bears this hockey season. And boy, oh boy, Matt, you know, we were going to do this on Monday night, but we decided to wait things out until the waiver wires cleared. And boy, oh boy, was our patience rewarded. May the hockey gods be praised for what was dropped into our laps today. So, Matt, I'm gonna let you step up to the proverbial plate and take it away.
Oh man, I tell you what, you know, we not only had the waiver wire clear once, it could potentially clear twice on this by the time we talk again on Saturday at the home opener in Hershey. But my oh my, three players, all top notch talent, all sent from the Washington Capitals down to the Hershey Bears, and you know, it couldn't have come at a much better time. It was much needed. Players that you just wouldn't have expected. And of course, talking about the likes of Liam O'Brien and Mike Scarbalsa, but man, the big surprise, at least as of, you know, 2 days ago, was the assignment of Christian Deuce sent down to the Bears. And my, I tell you what, the amount of information that's just kind of being swirling around, I mean, you got to think about it. He's still left in Washington. He's right now basically on the third pairing, taking Christian Juice's spot away from him. You know, quite honestly, will it last all year? Who knows? It is much easier to send Zavari down later on, after getting a longer look, and then just pull Christian Juice up, you know, if they need to make the swap later on. But for now, they're looking at Zavari, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it alters that. But if you just take a look at Christian Juice's stats from last year, and we go back, he played in the 18-19 season. He played 45 games for the Washington Capitals, scoring a goal with 9 assists. And back in the 17-18 season, his first almost full season in Washington, 63 games played that year, 3 goals and 11 assists. And, you know, so not great numbers, but considering the defenseman, still good numbers, considering. So he was a part of the playoffs. And he did have an assist in 22 games played for the Caps in that Stanley Cup run. So he was a intricate part on the team and played all the games. So it's going to be interesting to see how Christian Juice reacts to the reassignment down to Hershey. There's obviously a lot of different ways that we could see this going. I would expect that Liam O'Brien and Mike Scarpa will come down and play as hard as they did last year. Obviously, the loss of Riley Barber is going to be huge for the Bears. Get Scarbosa because he was, you know, up there with Barbs as a power play leader, and which I would imagine Matt Molson will kind of take that spot as well on the power play line with Scarbosa. But boy, oh boy, those three alone. We'll talk about the one from today a little bit later on, but, you know, How do you feel about getting these three players in Hershey, the home opener on Saturday? Like, this is huge. The fans love Liam O'Brien. And honestly, I cannot wait for the first time that Christian Juice gets a goal or an assist, and they announce it over the PA system, mm-hmm. and the entire arena of, you know, whatever we get that night, probably, you know, in the 9,000 range, most likely. Hopefully opening night where it's close to like 10-2, all goes off and chants Juice out loud. That is going to be phenomenal.
Well, I tell you, our friend and listener of the show and Hershey PA announcer, Jared Wawinski will definitely, help out with that. And that is really big news to have, Liam, Michael, and Juice being sent down. Liam had a pretty decent camp. I think he had a goal and an assist and a pretty decent fight in St. Louis. I thought he might have done just enough to get an extended look at training camp and maybe crack the opening night roster, but apparently the Capitals thought different. Scarbosa was up there just to help out with injuries healing, but good for him to get some extended training camp time. And Juice was a really big surprise to everybody, not just Capitals fans, but Bears fans, because you didn't know if he was going to clear. The stats that you gave were typical third-line NHL numbers, and there's always looking a team for a guy who can put up, like, let's say 5 goals and 10 assists, but yet eat up like 17 or 18 minutes a game, which is what Juice can do. And surprisingly, and thankfully for Hershey fans, nobody took him.
Yeah, no, if we look at the stats alone for Liam and just last year, you know, Liam, again, for the Bears, played 74 games, had 15 goals and 13 assists, which, again, that's a nice season in the NHL for a guy that is not known for his goal-scoring prowess. You know, that's huge
right.
for him. He did into
right.
three games for the Washington Capitals last year. Basically, he was only known for the 5 minutes, the penalties that he racked up in the three games of the fight that he had up there. You know, to get a player like that to get you know, maybe 15 for 30 points on this season, he's going to be a tough guy. 118 minutes last year, you know, that's going to be a huge help for the Bears, obviously, being able to be a big body out there. If you look at Mike Scarbosa, he was supposed to be the guy that was expected to fill in for Evgeny Kuznetsov with his suspension to start the season out for, so for the and when you look at Scarbosa's numbers last year, so he played 75 games, 30 goals, like 35 assists. He had 91 penalty minutes on zone, right? So he did, you know, his thing to help step up, played 5 games in the playoffs for the Bears, and, you know, he had a goal and 2 assists in those games. So, again, when you look at it, you know, these are high-profile players that, you know, they're needed, they're veteran leadership, the Bears need these guys in the line. I mean, obviously, in the middle, they still a ton of players in camp headed for the first weekend of the season. And I believe, if I'm correct, Thursday by 11:59, the opening night rosters must be submitted in the AHL. So we're going to find out rather soon who the rest of the players are that are going to be cut down. I would imagine the Bears are probably going to carry close to probably 24-ish, 25 players to start the season. You know, when you break down the lines, obviously you get, you know, four lines of three players plus the six defensemen. So you start doing the math there. You've got 18 players, two goalies. So you're basically keeping an extra six players if you do that. But obviously that number will come down as well during, you know, within the first week or two of the season, where you may only carry an extra two forwards and an extra two defensemen. So you're only holding like 21, 22 players at that point. So it's going to be interesting to see who the rest of that.
When you're a team that has 11 Calder Cups like the Bears do, and someone can sorry folks, seat of your pants broadcasting at its finest. I apologize to that for everyone. It was something, just a high-pitched sound that came out of the phone. Apologize to everyone who's lit. Apologize on that one. All right. So, so as I was saying, like, when you're an organization like the Bears, who where it's literally Calder Cup or bust every year, and you won 11 Calder Cups, there's always high expectations for this team going in. And Liam has always been a really good 10 and 15 player. I was just checking up some of his stats on Elite Prospects, and his stats are surprisingly consistent. His only worst season was the 15-16 season at 7 goals and 9 assists. I mean, every time else has been like 10 and 20, 17 and 9, and 15 and 3. That's 30, 26, and 28 points. That's pretty good. And he's been a pretty consistent scorer in the playoffs, too. So, Liam definitely has value. I mean, both for Washington and for Hershey as well. Magal Scarbosa will always be the glue, the vet that's going to bring the team together. I mean, sure, Molson's the scoring vet that's going to be the name that people will know. But in terms of like a veteran that the players can really get behind, that's definitely Mike Scarbosa, the voice of a clubhouse, a guy who's going to lead the team out after a losing streak, which he did several times last year. I was really happy to see his name clear. So at the time of this recording, let's get to this. At the time of this recording, a big name was added to the waiver wire at about 12:02 p.m., the cries of two cities were heard at once and in real time at the same time. And that was... And you know what, Matt? I'll let you take this one, too. You got the last one. Go ahead and take it.
Oh, boy. Actually, I had the honor, before he went up to Washington full-time, I had the honor to media pass on the last game of the season there a couple years ago, and had the opportunity to talk to this player and discuss his physical play in between the pipes, and great guy to talk to, and probably by now you'll know it, but the name is Phoenix Copley. Sad to see it. But, I'm going to get a little in-depth with this because I have some thoughts on this, on why this happened. But Phoenix Copley has been placed on waivers in order to send him to Hershey, which means that Ilya Samsonov, the goaltender we thought that was going to be the guy this year in a full season in Hershey, is now the backup for the Washington Capitals behind Braden Holtby. It has also been said already on Twitter that the Capitals are going to give Ilya Samsonov his NHL debut right away in the first weekend of the season. So the first three games of the season, no Kuznetsov, and Braden Holtby is only going to play two of the first three right off the bat. Now remember, I believe this could be the contract year for Braden Holtby. That means they need to see what they've got in Ilya Samsonov. But there's also a salary cap issues that the Caps were dealing with. So they had to move some high-end cap space to make room for some players. There'll be some changes, obviously, when Kuznetsov comes back. So there's going to be players that get swapped around. But remember, there's also coming up this year, there's also the expansion draft. And Ilya Samsonov can only play, I believe, well, I forget what the number is, but it's like in the 30-40 game range, I believe, before he's eligible to be a player that can be selected in the expansion draft. So my thought, they're going to get Samsonov some NHL experience, and then a mid-season to the three-quarter mark of the season, they're going to keep Samsonov under that number, swap Samsonov and Phoenix Copley, making Ilya Samsonov the starting goaltender of the Hershey Bears, hopefully leading into a playoff run near the end of the season, and that will give Braden Holtby and Ilya Samsonov chances to lead their respective teams into the NHL and AHL playoffs, and I believe that is going to be how this plays out. I could be completely wrong. I could be way off the board here, but I feel like the expansion draft, the contract issues, the potential for a contract year, whether the Caps are going to re-sign Braden Holtby or not, there's a lot of pieces to play at this. It could, you know, Copley had gotten a couple games by himself in the NHL preseason. Didn't look terrific, but he got chances. And it was more Vitek Vanacek in the NHL preseason getting minutes over Ilya Samsonov. So there's a lot of pieces that came into this. So it should be interesting to see how this plays out. I would like to know, what are your thoughts or feelings on this? Obviously, Phoenix Copley is also a fan favorite. That's why I brought up the fact that, like, there is multiple fan favorites now headed for Hershey, potentially. Do you think that he clears? And B, if he does clear, who's the starting goaltender for the Hershey Bears? Because wouldn't it be pretty upsetting to Copley and maybe to the fans that Copley goes from being a backup to Braden Holtby to maybe the fourth goaltender in the organization backing up Vitek Vanacek? So what are your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot to dissect in all this. It was a bombshell when this... when I found out about this at around like 12:30 at my work. So this has a lot to do, like you said, there's layers to this, to where, first off, the salary cap issue of Copley being sent down helps out alleviate some of the salary cap problems with the Washington Capitals, which until Kuznetsov's suspension is done, they're under the cap limit as of 5 p.m. on October 2nd, the date of this recording. Copley is a huge fan favorite here. Many fans remember his legendary fight against Bridgeport four years ago, which cemented his legacy in Hershey when he got traded out to St. Louis. It was a bit of a blow to the Bears fan base because they knew he was a prospect. He definitely had the skills, at least fans thought, to be a backup in the NHL, if not a good AHL goalie. But when he came back in 2016, 2017, it was a huge welcome back to him. And he was now at a time, he came back now at a time when not only Hershey needed him, but he could also have a chance to step in as a backup role once Philip Grubauer moved on. And now to see him get moved down to Hershey when everybody thought he was going to be the backup this season and then possibly take over for another year in Washington, and then Samsonov would eventually take the reins, this kind of expedited that process. And he's a professional enough to realize what his role in this organization is, but it is a bit of a gut punch that he'll be sent down. And as of right now, I think Vitek starts Saturday night with the way that he started on Monday. He's started more with the team during this during these past week and a half has practiced with the team more. I'm sure Phoenix goes Sunday against Providence, and I could be completely wrong about this, which I have been known to be on this program. But, you know, I always thought that Copley would be the man up in Washington going forward, and eventually Samsonov would replace him. And this is the one thing that you and me have disagreed about, is that I think Holtby moves on and finds another home, and Samsonov becomes the guy or the man. And several fans have thrown out, said, well, you got to trade Holtby before the deadline. And I'm like, what value are you going to get for him? I mean, you're giving a team that needs a goalie and expiring, but you're giving up your number one and a playoff run as well, which the Capitals are more than capable of. The Capitals aren't just some middle-of-the-road team with just playoff ambitions. The Capitals are a legitimate cup contender this year. Even as a fan of a rival, I see how talented the Capitals are. They have a chance to put another cup banner in the rafters if everything comes together. So I don't see Holtby getting traded. I see him more moving on, since it's a goalie's market. When you look at players like Bobrovsky, Carey Price, Andre Vasilevsky getting $9-10 million deals, I'm sure Holtby is going to go out and look for the same thing when he hits the market as well. But this was just real surprising news to see that Samsonov it could get a real chance to see 20 to 25 games in the NHL this season, getting those Saturday-Sunday back-to-backs, those West Coast road trips, the Central back-to-back games. Samsonov's going to get a lot of time in the NHL this year. And to anybody in the Hershey Bears fan base who bought a Samsonov specialty jersey, hold on to that thing, because that thing's going to be worth massive money now.
Yeah, so the only thing that I'm worried about is the fact that, the beginning of the season last year for Samsonov was very shaky. Yeah, he came on strong at the end of the season, and even into the playoffs, but quite honestly, I mean, I wanted to see, personally, another full season out of Samsonov before the Capitals took him to Washington. Now, the fact being, again, that they need to see what they have in the can. So, I have a feeling that this move almost cements a couple things. One, it cements that Braden Holtby is not going to get the lion's share of games this year early on. Meaning, you know, say the first 50, 60 games of the season, you know, so that first third or two-thirds of the season, you know, I can see, you know, we'll just call it 50. I can see Braden Holtby getting, 30 games out of 50, meaning that Samsonov gets 15 to 20 games already in that first 50 games. And if Samsonov were to stay the entire season, if you know, you get into the 82-game schedule, I can see Holtby getting, 50 games, 55 games-ish, which also means another 25, 27 games for Ilya Samsonov. So, and if that's the case, that keeps him under that 30-game threshold or so. I feel like the number is when it comes to the expansion draft, but the next thing is they have to keep him under certain numbers, and then he's not eligible to be picked off. That way, then you can see Holtby if maybe can stand stuff up. I mean, the other thing that they could do is they could say, sorry, Brady, we know you're an all-star caliber goaltender. We're going to split you guys even, 50-50 or 60-40. And basically, if Samsonov outplays Holtby in his games, he's what? Holtby is eligible to be picked up by the new franchise in Seattle. And pretty young. And, you know, that can make things very interesting. But we went back to Dan Stoffley's numbers last season in the NHL. He played 27 games. I just rolled all out a number of about 25 to 27 games for being a fan of some of them. So that's not unrealistic to assume you get those type of you know, numbers when it comes to that. But, you know, last year, in those games, you know, his numbers were 2.9 goals against average, 16-7-3 record, and a 905 save percentage. So, not terrible numbers. I would like to see that save percentage number come up. It's time, I think, Hirsch to get comfortable and try to earn his spot back in Washington to get some of that confidence back. So, he's not getting, you know, shredded for 7 goals in a game and leave him in there to take all the goals against throwing him. And, you know, but I'm interested to see how this all plays out. I think there's a lot of different reasons the Caps are trying to find out, you know, going into the midway point of this season coming up, and whether they're going to keep Sammy up there, whether they're going to bring Copley up because he looks good and he has an ability to take over the backup role. If Sam Sonoff takes over, does the Caps at the trade deadline trade away, you know, and get some draft picks back for something to try to rebuild, knowing they've got Samsonov, Copley, and Vanacek in the system. So there's a lot of different pieces to play here. What we don't want to see as Hershey Bears fans, potentially, is the worst case scenario is something happens to Braden Holtby, an injury or a trade. Because at that point, that means it could take Copley or Vanacek, meaning you're dealing with now your fifth goaltender in the system, essentially Milner, and he would be the next guy up, so to Hershey, and then the whole system would just go get the job. Obviously, you can't help injuries at this point, but there's a lot of stuff that can happen. The long season, but there's a lot of interesting storylines going into this year.
Yeah, definitely. With as you mentioned, one of the worst case scenarios, it's one of the things that you described, is that the possibility of having a lot of call ups and a lot of injuries that, you know, let's say, God forbid, Kuznetsov gets injured, a center gets in has some sort of ACL, and there is, let's say, Gersich gets called up, Pilon gets called up for like 2 or 3 games and then back down. Snively sits up and waits for a game. Like you said, God forbid Brandon Holtby gets injured, and then that means Copley goes up, Vitek stays behind, and then we got to call up either Logan Thompson or Parker Milliner from South Carolina. Or another defenseman goes down. Kempney has more injury problems, and then they got to take up one of the really young ones. Let's say, like, I know Tyler Lewington's already up there, but let's say, like, giving Lucas Johansson a look, or Colby Williams as well. That just having a lot of that, for lack of a better words, organization hopscotch, that somebody goes up for 2 games, somebody comes back, somebody goes up for 3 games or for 2 weeks and then gets sent back down, and Hershey just doesn't have a chance to gel and have this team really come together. I mean, thankfully, we don't have a vet problem like 2 years ago where that would hurt a team as well. But I see Hershey right now as a team that, you know, as always, we see them as threats in the Atlantic, but I'm really starting to see a good team come together, that this team has a real possibility to make, as always, a really deep run in the playoffs, but I think this year to really reinsert itself as the dominant Atlantic team, to really kind of take that throne back from Charlotte and Lehigh and Providence.
It's the division is always tough when it comes to, you know, Hershey, Wilkes-Barre, Seahawks, Charlotte. Those teams all have had great seasons, great teams over the last few years. It is always a huge battle when it comes down to the division. You know, obviously we compete this division every year, so it's easy for us to say, well, this might be one of the best divisions in all of the AHL, and it's still possible. You know, you got battles with Providence and Bridgeport, and I know that, you know, things keep getting moved around, but, you know, it's still an interesting, interesting schedule and a division to watch. I think something that's kind of missed, but we haven't really talked about it yet. We talked about Juice and O'Brien and Struggles, and Phoenix Copley being reassigned, but there's something to say about the talent of Shane Gershich, who also has been reassigned back to Washington, or back to Hershey, after a couple-day reassignment from Hershey back to Washington. Having Shane Gershich for another full season could be beneficial for not only his own team.
Yeah, it definitely seems like Shane Gershich is being groomed as probably one of those next big bottom six forwards for the Capitals. I mean, I know last year Spencer Carberry really liked how he turned his game into a more defensive-based game and was able to, develop a two-way game to where he wasn't just this speedy, fast winger. He was a guy you could rely and play defense on. And while that's good, I'd like to see guys like Gershich, Pilon, and Pinho really step up in the scoring department this year. That those are names I want to hear in PA scoring announcements, not just at Giant Center, but when I go to Lehigh, to Wilkes-Barre, or wherever the Bears play, to hear those names spoken a lot, because we're going to need that scoring help to step up. And I see Matt Molson as more of a setup and assist guy. Mike Scarbosa is the same way. So we don't have Riley to be that dominant scorer this year. It might just be a lot of different guys chipping in instead of just having one guy being your, again, lack of better words, be like a Chris Bork who could get you 60 or 70 points in a season.
I tell you what, the preseason games for the Bears are, and even for the Caps, have been any type of idea on what we're going to see this year. Brian Pinho has been on fire during the preseason, scored a couple goals with the Capitals in the games that they've put him in, and then he went, you know, came down to Hershey, and he's had some opportunities, and he put in some work there, too. Like, this kid is ready to go this year. I mean, you want to have a hot start. This whole Pilon as well has had some opportunities. Like, these guys look like they are ready to go after, you know, the prospect tournament, preseason, the training camp, all this, like, they look like they are set and ready to go. And this team kind of reminds me of, like, that hungry first-year Washington Capitals, you know, Hershey Bears affiliate year, where, like, all these guys had a ton of young teams mixed with some nice veterans, and boy, oh boy, if this team gels together, like we saw, you know, years ago, boy, we can be in for a fun season for Hershey Bears hockey.
Definitely. I think that this could be another really fun and hopefully lengthy postseason run for the Bears as well. So we'll get you out of here on this. I know you've kind of talked about it a little bit, but just give your overall thoughts of the Bears this season. That what do you see out of this team? Do you see this team being a high-flying, high-scoring team, or a team that's going to grit and grind its ways to victory? Like, what's Matt Pakoda's outlook for the Hershey Bears 2019-2020 season?
Well, I mean, interesting to see how the team plays out. It's kind of like you talked about a little bit earlier. If the team and the roster keeps changing because of recalls and reassignments and everything, you know, this is going to be a tough team to really get, you know, the chemistry working. But some of these younger guys, they really don't know any better. So they're going to go out there, they're going to play their heart out every game. And, you know, so that's going to be huge. But honestly, it's going to depend on the goaltending this year. Right now, you know, we've got NHL caliber talent in Phoenix Copley that could be making it down to Hershey. There's no shoe right now that Phoenix Copley is responding to the Bears at noon tomorrow with the waivers. There could be a team out there that looks at Phoenix Copley and says, he's our guy to keep the backup. And that's quite possible, but I think if Vitek Vanacek and Phoenix Copley could give the Bears some goaltending and keep the opponents to, you know, say 2.5 goals a game on average, you know, 2 or 3 goals, I think this team has plenty of talent in the goal scoring department, especially with bringing in Matt Molson and Starbolt. I really like Brian Findahl. I think he's got an opportunity to do some stuff. Brian on the power play, you know, he's going to need to step up and talk a couple goals on some of those key goals. It'll be interesting to see how long Ferrari stays in Washington, whether or not he makes his way to Hershey or not at some point. But I think the player to watch this year is the rookie Brett Leafman. One of the top draft picks for the Washington Capitals just this past year. One of the older draft picks, which makes him eligible to come to Hershey. And hopefully he doesn't pull a Axel Fabio, whatever you want to call him, and take off and go somewhere else this year. I would imagine he's going to play the full season in Hershey if all those things go as well. I think Brett Leafman and Piavia is going to be a nice combination of young talent to the Bears. And, I've said it on my Facebook fan page that I really do see this team as a playoff contender. You know, at 36 games of the season, if I had to put a win total on it, probably around the 45-ish, 47 wins, which, you know, a 45 number, you know, obviously winning 50 games in a 76 game schedule is tough. I mean, she's only lost 6, so you knock off 5 on threats and lose about 37 games on the season. You know, I think that 45-ish range, 42 to 45 maybe, 47 on the high end could be the next number for this team. And I just have a lot of confidence in the goaltending this year, especially if Phoenix Copley's brought in. He's got the NHL talent now, and I think, he's got the experience. So I think him and Vitek Vanacek could be a nice backstop for the Bears and could really bring this team to life. I like the way this team is set up for success. It's going to be fun to watch. I cannot wait to see it for the Jets on Saturday. I didn't get a chance to meet it for the preseason game, so Saturday night is my first official game of the season, and am I looking forward to it.
Given this time of year, and since we've had to deal with a month of preseason hockey, we're all ready to get back to Giants Center. So, Matt, thank you for joining me.
Mark Ferrari, at 19 years old, is going to be in the lineup for the Washington Capitals tonight. Obviously, you guys may hear this a day later, but at this point, Ferrari is going to make his NHL debut for the Caps this year. And obviously, Chandler Stephenson, who we thought could potentially be a guy that goes to Hershey. And while they kept Carbosa, they kept Stephenson in the lineup. So your third and fourth lines are Hagelin, Stephenson, and Levesic down the halfway. And Bavari is on the defensive starting with Bratko Gudas. Jonas Siegenthaler on the first defensive pairing with John Carlson, who's newly minted with an A on the sweater. So a lot of cool stuff, a lot of players getting opportunities, and a lot of young talent, not only in Hershey, but now going to be in Boston.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be cool to see Favari. I know I got that name wrong. See him get his debut tonight. Hopefully Uncle Doc gets a chance to say his name. So Caps Blues on NBC Sports Network tonight as the Blues are hoisting their Stanley Cup banner. But Matt, it was good talking to you, man. This will be the first of many Bears conversations we will have throughout the season this year. And heading into next week, the Kuznetsov suspension will be lifted, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more of salary cap shenanigans as we see this roster get trimmed down and see how everything really sets up with this team. So I'll see you Saturday night at Giant Center there, bud. Thank you for joining me.
Appreciate it.
Hey, as always, man, take care. And that was Matt Bacoda joining me. Yep, the Demolition Duo has indeed returned. And that was our own take of the Hershey Bears outlook for the 1920 season. And thank you to everyone who went through that. Me and I've been experimenting with some phone audio stuff during the off season. We're trying to do the best we can to make Matt sound good. Trying out different audio settings. So everyone, just kind of bear with me a little bit. Matt did sound good. He sounded better than in previous segments. So as always with this podcast, it is always a work in progress. So thank you for joining me on this, season premiere of season two of Perched on the Ice. Thank you to so many people who have supported this podcast along the way. And we're going to end the podcast on this. I'm going to send out a very special shout out, and this person is going to get tagged on Twitter, and I hope they listen to this. So there's a bit of a story attached to this. If you don't want to hear it, you may indeed take your leave now and go on, and nothing else will come of it. If not, then all right, for all of those of you who stuck around, I'd mentioned pro wrestling earlier in the podcast. I pledge on Patreon to a wrestling content company called Cultaholic. They are a small company based all the way overseas in Newcastle upon Tyne, which is real. Go look it up. They put out wrestling content, lists, interviews, shows, recaps, reviews, tons of great stuff. Adam Pacitti is the man that runs it. A bunch of other people with them. Jack, Sam, Ross Twiddell, and a bunch of others I can't name here. They just got 500,000 subscribers and are probably entering their second full year in existence. It's a huge gamble when you go into business with yourself. And I can't, with all the business rules here in the U.S., I can't imagine what it's like over in the U.K., but there's one other man on there, someone who is a supporter of the show all the way over there, and his name is Tom Campbell, and he hosts a small internet radio show through Discord. Ask the kids what it is. Through Discord, where he plays wrestling music and has talks with people who pledge $10 or more to Patreon, which I do. I was able to get in on the show, and I told him, what I do. I do Perched on the Ice, and I talk hockey. He showed interest, and I thought at first he's just being nice. Tom's a very positive guy, even in the toxic, vile atmosphere coliseum that's known as Twitter, Tom tries to be a ray of sunshine in it. That's very hard to do, especially in this day and age. So the following week, I told him about, you know, you're like, hey, thanks for having me on. And he said, I took a listen to your podcast, and he promoted it. And this was in August. This was in mid-August, the dead point of the season. And there's only like 7 or 8 people that listened to this podcast, and some that I doubt were even real hockey fans. The only same passion we have is that we're all pro wrestling fans. But it was the act of someone who is in the UK, a place not known for hockey at all, that football over there, or soccer as we know it, is their passion. You know, they're just crazy about it. Most of them are. It's a pro wrestling hotbed as well. And for him to take the time to perhaps listen to it, you know, listen to maybe the Stanley Cup final ones. He loves video game music. That's where I used some as well. For him to take the time and listen to it, whether it's just a minute, a 2 or 5, or you listen to a show in general, I am truly grateful. And I thank Tom Campbell. You know, I tagged him when he was promoting World Podcast Day a few days ago, and we put out Perched on the Ice Atlantic Division preview. And he, you know, liked it and said, you know, keep up the good work, brother. And I'm really thankful that I felt like a very small connection was made over there with someone, again, all the way across the pond, you know, where the Flyers are taking on a couple of European clubs right now, that someone in a place that shouldn't even care about hockey that much has shown interest in this little podcast. And for that, Tom Campbell, if you are listening, I thank you very much for your support. Keep on doing what you do, mate. And, you know, keep getting behind that video camera and that microphone. And I'll keep getting behind this one as well, you know. And, you know, I just wanted to share that with everyone here, that this podcast was able to get exposure on a professional wrestling platform, which was being heard all the way, you know, by people out in Australia, St. Louis, other members in the UK as well. Will they listen to it? Who knows? But they heard the voice of this hockey fan, and I'm just amazed where this podcast has taken me in life. All right, so enough of my rambling. Everyone, I hope to see you at Giant Center on Saturday night as the Bears welcome one of our heated rivals, the Wilkes-Barre Baby Penguins, to town. Saturday night, it is Magnet Calendar Night, Fridge Magnet Calendar Night. Make sure you get one of those. They double as a regular standalone counter. I get one every year. And then Sunday is Hershey Park Pass Night. Ugh. We got a few more of these throughout the season. We might as well just deal with them as well. As the Providence Bruins come to town. And then we will hit the road for a couple of weeks, as we always do this time of day. Damn you, Disney on Ice! Wait a minute, I shouldn't say that. They're probably watching me right now. Hello, Mr. Rumsfeld. So hopefully before the evil eye of Disney strikes me down, I'm going to head out of here. Everyone, I'm going to use a... No, I'm not going to do it because it's Tom's phrase. But to everyone, keep your stick on the ice, and we'll see you Saturday night at Giant Center.
That's the end of the game.